KSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dr. Akın Erdemir, Senior Director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Turkey Program, a former member of the Turkish Parliament, to help me understand news reports about Turkey, Asia Minor, the dominant regional player in the interlocution between the troubled Ummah and Europe, Turkey a member of the NATO, and reports in these last years point to one man critical to understand Turkey, the very significant president of Turkey, Mr. Erdogan, Recep Erdogan. And now we have a report that financiers, some Turkish, some Egyptian, in Turkey have been sanctioned by the United States Treasury Department for abetting and financing al-Qaeda. This is not unique. However, it does require interpretation, given that we have a new administration and Mr. Erdogan, knowing about these sanctions for years, at this point can be said to not have addressed the issue. Akın, a very good evening to you. The five al-Qaeda supporters working out of Turkey to provide financial services have been sanctioned. Is this upsetting, unhappy-making in Ankara, or is this business as usual? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to join you. Now, the latest designation by the U.S. Treasury is the seventh set of designations targeting a Turkey-based individual or entity since 2019. You know, so this is business as usual. That is, Turkey is unique among NATO member states for being repeatedly hit by U.S. sanctions for various kinds of jihadists operating on its soil. And this is the second al-Qaeda designation this year. But at the same time, over the last 2.5 years, we have seen Islamic State designations, IRGC, Quds Force designations. We have seen HASM, an Egyptian terrorist organization designations. This shows that Turkey over the years has become what a national public radio piece once referred to as the jihadi highway. That is, you find all sorts of financiers, militants from around the world, foreign fighters who have taken refuge in Turkey and exploiting the permissive jurisdiction Ankara has offered them over the years.
State security, I believe you've taught me it's called MIT. Does MIT have a hand in this? Do they monitor, watch, corral, in some way communicate with these al-Qaeda supporters, al-Qaeda and other jihadists?
Now, Turkey has one of the strongest state institutions in the Middle East, although these institutions have been hollowed out under Erdogan's rule. So both the Turkish police and Turkish intel, MIT, you know, keep a close tab on all sorts of militants in Turkey. But one thing you need to understand here is that since 2011, since the beginning of the Syrian civil war, Ankara has had a conscious decision to look the other way when it comes to jihadist activity. Back then, this was seen as a quick formula to topple the Assad regime and then replace him with a Muslim Brotherhood regime aligned with Erdogan. Experts like me back then started warning that this was a horrible strategy, that this would come back to haunt Turkey. And that's exactly what happened. You know, over the last decade, all sorts of jihadist institutions exploited this permissive jurisdiction the Turkish government presented them with. And now, I would say, even if the Turkish police and intel really mean to eradicate all these organizations and groups, it's a tough job.
Akın, I want to be romantic about this because I've been to Istanbul and Ankara. They're romantic places. Turkey is a romantic place. Is there a Ritz-Carlton in Istanbul or a Ritz-Carlton in Ankara where all of these players, al-Qaeda, the Taliban, the Muslim Brothers, and those who finance all of these organizations hang out? Do they all drink tea together, hang out at the bar? Is there such an enterprise?
Now, they're known not to hang around bars, so that's probably a safe place to be. But in fact, one of the individuals who was designated, you know, on Thursday, was reportedly advising his followers, his militant followers, to do shooting practice on the outskirts of Istanbul in the forests. So it seems they prefer the countryside of Istanbul, and they prefer forests for their training. And of course, the scandal here is that Turkish authorities have known about some of these individuals since 2015, and they still manage to continue to operate in Turkey.
The Muslim Brothers, the Ikhwan, very large story during the Arab Spring. I'm understanding that the Muslim Brothers are comfortable in exile in Turkey. Is that a concern for Erdogan, that they have hands in many governances along North Africa and well into Jordan and well into the Ummah?
Now, until recently, it was not a concern. It was the joy of Erdogan that Muslim Brotherhood was using Istanbul as its really, you know, global capital. We have had Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood satellite channels broadcasting from Turkey. We have had, you know, many of the world's Muslim Brotherhood leaders either living in Istanbul or convening in Istanbul. But that is beginning to change if we are to believe the latest reports, because as part of the ongoing Turkish-Egyptian detente, attempts to, you know, warm up relations, it is reported that Erdogan promised to extradite a few of the most militant Muslim Brotherhood members who were involved in assassinations in Egypt. Now, I think we should better wait and see whether Erdogan delivers on this promise, whether he turns against his closest allies among the Muslim Brotherhood. But it seems this relationship is no longer where it used to be.
I come to Turkey on the Afghanistan story. The tragedy behind us, but the refugees in front of us. Last time we talked, you were comfortable with the number 300,000 Afghans in Turkey waiting to move on. I believe that the EU is their destination. Is that a concern for Erdogan? Does he use this in some fashion the way he did the Syrian refugees to have a conversation about money with the EU?
You know, Erdogan is a smart player, and when he sees Afghan refugees, he sees both an opportunity and a threat. And in response to the threat, he has started building an extensive border wall on the Turkish-Iranian border, trying to slow down the flow of incoming Afghans. But at the same time, he sees an opportunity. As you said, he knows that this will allow him to blackmail the European Union, just as he did so with Syrian refugees back in 2015, to extract financial and diplomatic concessions from Brussels. So at this point, we see that Erdogan has already started cashing in when it comes to Afghanistan. We have seen the Biden administration tone down or silence its criticism toward Erdogan. We have seen very positive messaging coming from Germany, from the German foreign minister. And all of that is basically built on this notion that Erdogan is a key middleman, is a key broker when it comes to everything about Afghanistan, whether it's outreach to the Taliban or whether it's preventing Afghan refugee flows.
Ekin Erdemir is the senior director of the Turkey program at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I love Jihadi Highway, so I'm going to use that and say that President Erdogan is the toll keeper for the Jihadi Highway and good at it, so much so that he is now one of the dominant players in NATO. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.